Welcome to the 50 States Finish Line podcast, where we talk about running, road races, and all the ways that running enriches our lives. I'm your host, Pam, and I run half marathons in 28 states and completed 5 marathons. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. Is a destination race on your someday list? How about a race outside of the United States? In today's episode, we'll be talking about the Dublin Marathon held every October. We'll talk about what it's like running a race overseas, the dynamics of a race being run with thousands of runners. But first, the Dublin Marathon is known as the world's friendliest marathon, and it is the fourth largest marathon in Europe. In 2019, the race had more than 20,000 participants with 5,000 entrants from outside of Ireland. Today, I'm very fortunate to have a dear friend in the studio with me who has visited Dublin many times. And as I mentioned, we also ran the Dublin Marathon together. So I look forward to sharing our experience. So welcome, Wendy.
Thanks, Pam. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's so nice to be in the studio with you and reminisce about our time in Dublin. And maybe to start, I don't know if there's just some things you want to share about yourself as a runner.
Sure. I've run off and on my whole life, through college, post-college, and really got into longer distance running after the birth of our fourth child. I joined a master's swim team, and from there, I started getting into triathlon and then to running longer distances. I'm a super slow runner. Like really slow. Pam had to slow herself down to be with me during the marathon we did together. But my goal is to run till I'm 100 years old. So I don't really care how slow I go. And I love adventure racing. So I love doing something that's a little harder, a little bit more adventurous.
And that's what makes you such a great friend and a wonderful person to run with. So I'm so excited that we're going to have this time to talk about us running together. Even though we haven't done a lot of races together, I would say that Dublin Marathon has long been one of my favorites. And I don't know if you feel that way too. Just, you know, I thought we can talk a little bit about kind of that international traveling internationally for a race. What an incredible treat that was for both of us. I mean, we both have very full lives with jobs and family. So getting away is never easy. And it felt a little crazy to step away from our lives for a time in October to go and do this race, but it was such a wonderful adventure. So I don't know, had you done other international races? Was that your first one traveling outside the U.S.?
I think that was my first race. I've run outside the United States a whole bunch. We've traveled a lot with our kids, as you know, and we're always running. I'm always running wherever we are. For about 6 months, we lived in Bali, Indonesia. And I was telling you just recently that I went out of my way to find a running group just so I could meet people in the community. And I figured running, you don't really need to talk. So if we can't speak each other's language, at least I'm, you know, part of the community. But as far as racing, Dublin was the first race outside of the United States. And actually, I just completed the virtual Dublin Marathon over this past weekend in Ireland. So I went to Ireland and I did it virtually.
I don't know what you would call that, right? Being in person virtual, but you've obviously been back to Dublin many times. And I love that idea of traveling internationally and connecting with people around running, because it is, let's say, like a universal language, but there are some differences. And I think, you know, one of the things about traveling internationally is that idea of jet lag. So again, you were there most recently and maybe had to kind of plan your time around being prepared to run after flying. I also know just sometimes the provisions, like on the day of the Dublin Marathon in the U.S., we often think of water stops being every 2 miles. And obviously the race there, I had to look it up, was like 42 kilometers. So even just kind of mentally wrapping my brain around the distance is a little bit different internationally. And then thinking about, okay, are they going to have water and Gatorade? Oh, maybe, maybe not. No, they do not have Gatorade, I would say, at the water stops, and maybe not even as frequently. So just remembering to carry provisions on those international courses.
Oh, yeah. So, like, even this last weekend, I was going to visit my son. I've had two kids go to school in Ireland, as you know. So I was visiting one of them that's still there. And I'm training for a marathon in December that I'm going to be there with you, which will be super fun in South Carolina. But I'm not right now up to 26 miles, but I did sign up for the virtual marathon. I was there by myself, you know, visiting my son, and I have a notorious bad sense of direction. So I had to really plan it out, like how I was going, like what route I was going to take, because it was all virtual. People could run their own routes. And I ended up running a little over half of it as a long training run. But I had to plan it out, and especially if you have a bad sense of direction. And there were no water stops. And I thought I was all planned with my belt that I love so much, where I can put my phone in. And then I got myself a hydration belt, but the hydration belt just wasn't working. So I had to ditch it and just run without water, which was horrifying. And I eventually, at around 13 miles, had to stop by a little cafe and ask for some tap water.
Probably lukewarm tap water,
yes,
at that,
but
right?
It was delicious and wonderful.
That is so great. I know. That the year that we ran the Dublin Marathon, it was held on the bank, like a Monday bank holiday. And so knowing that was a Monday, on a Sunday, I recall that things may be closed a little early. So like that was another thing we had to think about was, I know in the US, a lot of times I'll go down into, if I'm in a city marathon, I'll go down, I'll get like a banana and a yogurt the night before, just so I have it in my room in the event that I'm going to eat before I go and do a long race. And it was like, uh-oh, I have to make sure you do that well in advance when you're going to be running on a Monday in a country where maybe even a Sunday is not a big shopping day.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of those kinds of things to think about.
Yep. I remember going to the store when you and I were in Dublin together and getting provisions like right before the store closed, I think on that Sunday. And just this past weekend was the bank holiday as well. So I guess it's on the bank holiday every year.
Yeah. And I remember kind of, you know, the other thing I think we think about with international races is trying to juggle sightseeing with keeping your legs fresh for the race. So I know for you and I think we toured maybe Trinity College, the Book of Kells, and the Trinity College campus, but we held off on maybe going to Temple Bar area and pub crawl or the Guinness storeroom or any of those kinds of things after the race. And also just like you were saying, whether it's not having a great sense of direction or just trying to navigate a city you don't know. So like the expo, if I remember, was held not where the start was, but in another part of the city, having to figure out how to get there, getting our race number, picking up our packet, doing all of that. And also being mindful like, oh my gosh, we're going to be on our feet tomorrow for 26 miles. So we will want to make sure that we're not doing too much on the day before. I don't know. Was that something similar for you on this last visit to Dublin about thinking about running the next day and not doing too much the day before?
It was. Well, it was because it was virtual and you could do it any time during the bank holiday weekend, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. And I came in early, like 4:30 in the morning Friday. And I just decided I had to do it Saturday, even though I was going to be tired, because I wanted to save my feet for the running part and then sightsee after. So I do remember that. We went to the Dublin Castle too.
Yeah. I do remember that.
And one thing I remember vividly about the Dublin Marathon was you helping me along. Once I popped a blister at a mile, like about mile 16, I was in like such pain. And it was a newbie and I knew better. I just forgot to trim my toenails. Do you remember the old the older man who had just had hip replacement surgery. When I was walking along, he's like, come on, Les, you just got to shuffle. Like,
oh, I do like remember 80. That. I do remember that. So yeah, you know, it was interesting. So I think it's interesting whether you're training, doing long training runs with somebody or running a race with somebody. There's so many elements of that to kind of think about. And one thing is when you're in a larger race, part of it is trying to be able to stay together, that you're a little hemmed in by all the spectators, you're hemmed in by all the other participants, and just trying to stay physically together or within each other's sight lines when you get to a water stop is hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I kept thinking in my head, oh, we'll lose the crowds, it'll be easier to stay together. And that wasn't the case. I mean, it was crowded all the way to the end. But we did find some really lovely people to run with. There was that gentleman who kept telling us, just shuffle along. And then I think you mentioned there was someone else who, you know, after a long period of time of us running together with this other person who had, I think, a goo stuck to her shoe.
Oh, yeah, she had a goo packet stuck to her shoe, and it was flapping with every step. And it driving us crazy, as I remember.
Yeah, anything after that kind of distance can drive you so, so crazy.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about the things, again, whether you're training with someone or running a race with someone, you know, kind of giving them permission when you're running together. And I was thinking of things that are really nice to have someone either say to me or to say to somebody. And some of those things are like, this pace is perfect. You know, so often when you're running, you feel like you're holding somebody back or you might be going too fast. And neither of those things are often true. So I think it's so nice when someone says, this pace is perfect. I mean, you tend to run more, right, with maybe someone else, like your husband, for long distances.
Yep. So I think I run better by myself. I run with music, and I think I'm just stronger and I go a little longer. And with other people, my main running partner is Chris, my husband. But with other people, I don't know what it is, like why I do this, but I want them to know I'm super slow. So like, don't expect me to go quickly. It's like this weird psychological thing. But I have actually once run with Kathy O'Brien, who's multiple time Olympic runner. And she is such a good runner. She can slow her pace right down and go slowly enough with me.
But yeah.
It may have been once or twice in my life.
I agree with you that it's so nice running with other people as well as running by yourself. And again, running with another person who goes your pace or adjusts to finds the middle ground there, I think is so nice. So when someone says this pace is perfect or says something like, are you kidding? I couldn't go any faster. It's like, oh, that's such a lovely thing to hear someone say. Or, you know, oh my goodness, I was hoping you would take a walking break. Like, I always feel like I'm the one who needs to take the walking break. And
no, I'm pointing at myself right now because I'm always the one that wants to take the walking break. But yes.
So I guess this is just some words of wisdom that if you're out there training with others, these are all great things to say. And then, you know, whenever you're ready. So if you're taking a walking break and you're not sure whether to start back up again, if someone says, whenever you're ready, it's just such a nice way to kind of say, yep, I've regrouped too. And I think in a race situation, in advance, saying to the other person, if I say you go ahead, I really, really mean it. I think that's something that is so hard to work out on the course about staying together or not staying together. And in time with my running group that I typically kind of go to races with, we now kind of show up at that start together and don't run like at all together until we get to that finish and then celebrate together.
Yep. I agree. I think having a plan is very helpful because when I'm one of those people, when I say go on, I really mean it. And I'm always saying that to my husband, and he says he wouldn't get out if it wasn't for me. So that's the compromise. But he's 6 feet and I don't know how he can go as slowly as I go. He one time implied he might be hurting himself because he's going so slow.
I know you keep saying that, Wendy, but you're a terrific runner. I don't even know what your pace is, but you know, you're a terrific runner and you, I think, are a lot faster than you think you are. And I think there's also this element of, I know when we ran Dublin together, I am not at all faster than you, but it's crazy. Even if it was like a 10 second faster pace, it just feels like it weighs on your body differently. Either it's so much easier or it's so much harder. So I think that part about it, just a slight adjustment in a pace can feel tremendously different on the body. And I mostly notice that on the treadmill when you like press the button and make it go faster. It's like, oh my gosh, that's really hard on my body.
Yes.
But I know that adjustment when you're running with someone else, you just feel like you're slowing them down. But really, they might be running 5 seconds slower than their usual pace.
Which isn't a big deal for them, hopefully, you know, if they're running with you. Yeah, I'm doing timed runs on Wednesdays, and it's very different when I'm timing myself and trying to go faster. It's a totally different workout. And yeah, needed. Yeah.
So I was going to just come back to our Dublin race and that it was a really big race. One fun thing that you and I did is we wore Boston Red Sox shirts. And in Ireland, you know, one thing I noticed when we went to pick up our program for, it was really funny. They had a program of all the participants. Every name was Irish. It was Ryan and Murphy and
yep.
Our names, they were like one of my last name and one of your last names, but they were like pages and pages of Irish Kellys and Murphys, and that was really funny. And us wearing these Boston Red Sox jerseys, people loved that. I mean, the spectators almost like jumped out onto the race course like, I love Boston.
Yeah, it's great to wear a shirt where there's some identifying factor. So people, you know, if they're inclined to yell and if you're on a long race, any little bit of encouragement helps. So yeah, the Boston, that was your idea, I'm pretty sure. And it was really worked great.
I think it's the only time I've ever worn like an identifying shirt. And I'm really yeah. glad we did it. It was really fun. But you know, I do think in those large, whether there's lots of participants or lots of spectators, you do end up expending energy, taking in the sights, taking in the spectators, reading all the signs, picking up that, orange slice that some little a child has left out for you, or hitting their sign that gives you power. So I think that's something that you have to kind of factor into your energy for a large race. And the other thing I would say is I know, like you, I love running with music, but in some of those really big races, you can't even hear your music through your earbuds. So have you ever had that
That's
experience?
That's true. No, I haven't. In fact, I've just sort of started running with music on a regular, but I think you might remember at our race.
Are you going to tell that story?
I came with a playlist that had a bunch of songs that my oldest son had done. He was much younger then. Something about hearts with his hands. It was like love ballads by like a 7-year-old or something.
And then there was the Harry Potter episode.
And then I got Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So I was a little frustrated in the run on that. So yes.
That was the back in the day. I think it was like an iPod shuffle. So you couldn't even control what you were listening to. You just had to pray that whatever was on there was something you were willing to listen to for four
exactly.
hours, right?
And do you know, Pam, I still sometimes run with an iPod shuffle. Like if it's going to rain, I just put an iPod shuffle in and not my phone.
That is great. I'm sure it brings back great, great memories. So I think we'll take a short break and be right back. Welcome back to 50 States Finish Line Podcast. So, Wendy, you were mentioning early you have run in other places.
Yep. We have just lived out of the United States off and on while our children were young. And I know the last, and we've always run wherever we were, whether, you know, it was Costa Rica or Mexico or Southeast Asia. But this last trip that we were out of the country for about 6 months, and I went out of my way, even though I do like running alone or running with Chris, my husband, we went out of our way to find a running group in Bali because we knew we were there for a short term. And it would be hard to meet people, especially locals. It'd be easy to meet other expats at yoga studios and coffee shops. But I wanted to somehow interact with people locally. So we found Hash Harriers, which is, have you ever heard of it, Pam?
I have not.
It's supposedly a nation, international running group. Is that while we were there on the nights that we would run, every once in a while we'd get other international travelers that were traveling through, and they would look for hashing groups while they travel. And so in Bali, it was my only experience. I would love to join one or in the United States. There was one in Boston when we first got back that I looked into, but it was super fun. You'd get to an area and there'd be a race for that night. And the trail would be marked by little pieces of something biodegradable, like paper or something. Mm-hmm. And you would just go off at your own pace and run this course. And it would be through rice paddies and in caves, out of caves, scrambling up hills, but tons and tons of rice paddies. It was gorgeous. And we always ended up running with local people, like some of our neighbors that, you know, all we really could say is hi. But we would show up at these running, you know, these running courses or running races. And you just within a couple, you'd have a 2-hour window. And you'd run the course however fast or slowly you want. There were usually two courses, so you could take a longer one or a shorter course. And then after, there were always like a big keg or a roast, like a pig roast or something after. And they said they were a drinking group with a running problem. It was super fun. My kids would join us sometimes too.
Oh, that's so sweet. So a pretty good number of participants. Like how many people might be on that course when you were on that course?
Oh, probably like 20 to 30. It would vary. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you'd get there at different times. So maybe some people had finished or they hadn't gotten there yet. But it met exactly what we wanted, just to feel like we had a little space for ourselves in this community, that we were just going to be outsiders for a little while.
That sounds like such a great experience. I know there are running groups in this local area. I haven't ever done that. What time of day would you go running? What time
in
of
the
day?
Evening?
Okay.
Yeah. So in the evening, the kids would homeschool, or one of my kids went to school there, and we'd work. And then we'd hop on our scooters and go find the nearest race. And it was once a week. It was very fun.
That sounds like a great experience. And I wonder, so you said you did that in Bali, and when you lived in other parts of the world, because you've lived in other places, was there any running communities in those other places you've traveled?
Not that we ever thought to seek out. We were in Mexico for a year, and we developed our own running course. It was very high altitude too, so it was super great for conditioning. And we would see the same runners, but no, we should have. It was really fun. And if we ever live overseas for a period of time again, I would definitely do it again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do remember different countries, running in different countries being very different. And
well,
it's
worth it. I think that's part of, right, the whole 50 states finish line idea is about how running kind of expands your world. And in your case, traveling internationally and running internationally, getting to see a place through running groups is just such a wonderful opportunity. And keeping yourself healthy wherever you are in the world. So, you know, one thing I would love to talk about is like running and staying healthy over time. And I know you employ some different ways of doing that you've tried over the times. I mean, you started off by saying that you were a swimmer. I always think of you as an amazing swimmer, and then turning to running. But are there some things that you have tried and have stuck with that have really helped you to continue to run?
Yep. So I think cross training, like, you know, preparing for triathlons, even if you're not going to do them, but like adding biking and swimming in the gym, strengthening muscles, especially the muscles that support your running. I need to be better at that, but I'm trying to get better at that. One thing that I found recently is cold therapy, and I find it's really helpful. I started doing some research on this man, Wim Hof, who is a proponent of using extreme cold to reduce inflammation in your body for a variety of good reasons. And so I started taking cold showers every day, 3-minute cold showers. And then a fellow running friend told me that they had tried the Seacoast Cryotherapy Center in right in Exeter. And so I tried that instead. And so I am a convert. They've won me over. I think athletes should try it. Anyone should try it. But I had an injury from a water skiing accident from a while ago. And since going to cryotherapy 3 days a week, it really does keep my inflammation down. I no longer am bothered by this thing I let get chronic from the water skiing accident. I also have rheumatoid arthritis, and I usually walk down the stairs one stair at a time in the morning because of morning stiffness, which is very common. And I haven't had to do that since starting with cryotherapy. So cold therapy is one thing that some people might find that unusual that I do. Yeah. And I have done sensory deprivation, floating tanks, things like that to supplement like health and, of course, supplements that I find healthy. But cryotherapy I suggest to anyone to try. Yeah. It's 3 minutes. It's super cold, but you can dance around in your underwear and to songs in a really cold booth.
And I would just add, I did it once with your recommendation, and I would just say maybe we'll just spend a second kind of talking about what it's like, because I had no idea what to expect. And I would say 3 minutes in really cold air is a really long time. It was really, I remember I picked a song to be in the booth with that wasn't 3 minutes long. It was like 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Your song?
I don't remember. I like 80s kind of dance tune. It was some kind of 80s dance tune. And I thought, oh my gosh, not only do I have to listen to this song, but I have to listen to part of another song. This is really a long time. But I would say I really appreciated how there was preparation before going into the booth. I felt very comfortable in there by myself. I felt very safe in the environment. And yes, I think you're right. There's a lot of research around using cold therapy to reduce inflammation. So it's kind of a cool concept. And you would also, I think when you had convinced me to do it, it was like, I could try that or I could jump in the ocean, which we live near the beach, which sounds really appealing, but I don't really like being wet. And so that was the other really kind of cool thing about that therapy treatment is that you come out and it's a dry cold.
It's very dry.
And you can get on with your day right away.
That's what I was just about to, you just like go. You don't have to redo anything. So I find that really convenient. And did I tell you last winter I did jump in the ocean? That was miserable. That really was. But yeah. Cryotherapy, I would suggest.
The only other time I've jumped in the ocean in the winter was, I think, after they have like the Hangover Classic, the New Year's Eve or the New Year's Day Hangover Classic down in Salisbury. And you run this 5K and then you jump in the ocean. And again, it sounds in theory like, oh, that sounds like so much fun. But after running a race and you're really hot and then you jump in the ocean and it's January in New Hampshire, miserable. I remember like I could not get to my towel in my car fast enough.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Last year for us, it seemed like the ocean was so close and we're running. I'm like, yeah, the ocean's really close. And as we're running, I'm like, yeah, it's a lot farther than I thought. And when we got out, it was actually raining, almost hailing that day. And when we got out, I almost couldn't make my feet like move to get back to the car. So yeah, that seemed a little dangerous actually, but I would suggest cryotherapy for people that like to be active and want to try to keep inflammation down.
Yeah. And also your other thoughts around cross training, I think are so true, and just trying different things. I'm a huge believer in that idea of using different combinations to figure out what works best for you. And I would also say that you might try something that is a short-term solution to get you to a better place. And, you know, in full disclosure, I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but one time I had like a hip injury. So I would start wearing Spanx under my running pants. And it was enough, like, it was enough to get me to keep running and for that injury.
So that helped?
That did help. And I wouldn't, you know, I'm sure Spanx doesn't advertise itself as like a compression short, but in a pinch, that's what I used. And it was effective.
That's a good idea. Actually, well, my right hip was hurting yesterday, so maybe I'll see if I have any. I think I do. That's awesome. Creative solution.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Use what you have as long as it helps you to get out the door. So, you know, as we think about kind of having runners in the studio, I always kind of like to ask a couple of questions. Do you have like favorite running shoes or favorite tech gear that you take with you out on your runs?
Overall, I've been pretty low tech, but my shoes, Hoka's 100%. And my sister-in-law gave me something called Hip Sister, I think. And it's a Lycra band that goes around your waist. And I can tuck my phone into it and an energy bar or keys or something. And that I love. So that is a new discovery to me.
Okay. I'm going to have to invest.
But Hoka's.
Oh, I'm with you on that. Love that too. How about, is there a bucket list race for you somewhere in the future?
An ultra marathon or a full Ironman. I've done a half and I'm either one of those.
You are a rock star. You are a total rock star. I'll be there to cheer you on. I will not be running that, but I'll total cheer you on. And is there anything you say to yourself when the going gets tough?
Yes. I thought of that because you mentioned that you might ask this question. I'm like, oh, should I really admit what I say? But I don't, who cares? I might sound dorky, but maybe it'll help someone. I say, I'm fit, I'm strong, and I'm healthy.
I'm fit, I'm strong, and I'm healthy. And you just like, as a mantra, you just say it over and over again to yourself when you're running?
Yes. So, yep. If I, like when I start to get tired, I will repeat, I'm fit, I'm strong, I'm healthy. And then sometimes I say the word runner. So I just repeat that over and over again when I get tired.
Oh, I love that. I love that positive affirmation to yourself. And that makes a difference.
Yep.
That is fantastic. That is fantastic. Thank you, Wendy, so much for joining
me
today. I am so lucky to have you as a dear friend in my life. One of my most cherished items, I always tell you this, but I'm going to tell you it again, is a Christmas tree star you made out of shells, twigs, and twine while you were with the Peace Corps in the Marshall Islands. It really is. It's like my favorite thing. It reminds me that friendship transcends proximity, and I am so grateful we have races yet to come. I'm psyched about that, and so grateful for our decades of friendship. I admire you so much, and you are such an inspiration to me. So thank you for joining me today. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to the 50 States Finish Line podcast. You can find additional episodes on all podcast platforms. Until next time, I hope you feel energized about planning your next race, and happy running.